Live at 5 Sports with Todd and Suhan, brought to you by Prairie's Edge Casino Resort. Jim, your column today talks about Anthony Edwards and kind of his place and ascending place within the hierarchy and throughout the NBA landscape, and how he's kind of taken over Minnesota, of course, and he's the Timberwolves' top player, but he's really getting a lot of recognition around the league.
It's really an interesting race to become the next dominant figure in the league, the face of the NBA. Jokic is the best player in the league, the most valuable player in the league. He's a defending champ. He might win another one this year. Has a chance to win another MVP award, but he doesn't want it. And he doesn't play a spectacular. He's not going to dislocate his finger dunking on somebody the way Anthony Edwards does. The face of the NBA tends to be a wing who's a high scorer, who's a high flyer, who can take the ball at the end of the game and make a spectacular move. Jokic is great, but he's not that. Doncic could be that guy. Again, like Jokic, not really interested. They're not from America. They just don't seem that interested in being the face of the NBA. It's just, it's a really cool job for them. Mm-hmm. Then you have Jason Tatum, best player on the best team. But he did not play well in the postseason last year, and he's not as flashy as Edwards. So there's an opening here if Edwards continues to improve, and if he can have postseason success, and if he can hit some big shots. There's an opening here for the Timberwolves, for the first time in their history to have a face of the NBA type player. Garnett was great, but again, big guy, wasn't going to do spectacular things. Was probably even a better defensive player than an offensive player, even though he was a very good offensive player. Mm-hmm. It just didn't, you have to have a certain profile to fit that bill.
And one of the leading pieces of that profile is you have to be a winner. The faces of the NBA in the past have always been big winners. So that's in front of Edwards. It's not necessarily just up to him. He can be a fascinating story like Dominique Wilkins was during his day, but never won anything. You got to win to become the face.
You got to win, and you have to drive the winning, and you have to hit big shots and make big plays. Doesn't always have to be the game-winning shot. Jordan won two of his titles passing the ball to shooting guards in key situations. But you have to be the driver. And let's be honest, you have to do the spectacular things. Jordan was spectacular. Kobe was spectacular, and I think I actually think he's slightly overrated as a player. Mm-hmm. He was the guy who was going to take the big shot. He was going to take the big shot every night, and he missed a lot of them, but his fans only remember the ones he made. He was not always the most efficient player. But he was a dominant enough figure and a spectacular enough figure to be the face of the league for a while.
Yeah, and then with Jordan, when you size up Edwards against him in their first 4 years in the league, there wasn't the emphasis on the three-point shooting in those days. Of course, Edwards is shooting, 36% or 7 for his career, and Jordan was at 17% on three-pointers his first 4 years. So some of the things about the league have changed, and their records for winning were similar. But people were agape at the things that Jordan could do with the ball and his aesthetic beauty. And it seems like, at least in that regard, Edwards is right there with him so far.
Yeah, Jordan made his early reputation as a player as a dunker. Mm-hmm. And now he also won a national championship at North Carolina, hitting the game-winning shot there. I do recommend the movie Air. It's really well done.
I saw that too.
It's really good. So Jordan was he was already a winner at a high level, and he was the most spectacular dunker maybe we'd ever seen at that point. He was certainly the most spectacular dunker who was also a great player at that point. And then he transitioned into learning how to win and becoming almost, he became one of those obsessives that you almost have to be to reach that height. We don't know if Edwards has that in him. It was interesting. One of the things I note in my column is that Chris Broussard, longtime NBA reporter, reached out to Jordan, and Jordan said, yeah, Edwards is, a guy I see some of me in him. Mm-hmm. And then Sam Mitchell, former Wolves coach, former Wolves player, said that he thinks that Edwards is the guy who reminds him most of Jordan and Kobe. So it's all out in front of him. As you said, eventually he's going to have to win. He's going to have to win big. He's going to have to be spectacular. But it's just fascinating that a Timberwolf is in that situation.
Even being considered for it, that's right. There's some really great young stars in the Twin Cities professional sports landscape right now.
No doubt. Justin Jefferson is on a historic pace. They need to get that deal done with him, but he's a great young player. Buxton is still a young man and has MVP-type capabilities. Royce Lewis, I think, is going to become, if he isn't already, going to become one of the most popular figures in Minnesota. Pablo Lopez, ace. Johan Duran, ace, closer, all-star closer. Kirill Kaprizov is still young and is highly productive and has really turned on the last couple of months. Nafisa Collier, still pretty young. There's a lot going on here.
Yeah, no doubt. Some really fun stories to watch. My bracket, again, wrecked on the opening night. How many years can I do? I think it's 3 years in a row where either my champ or a team in the finals has gone out in the first night. I don't know. Do you do brackets, Jim? Is that a thing that you're involved with?
I generally do it because my wife wants me to do it. Uh-huh. This year I just didn't. One thing I found doing fantasy sports and things like that over the years is it tends to change the way I look at things. Mm-hmm. So I'd rather have a clear head.
Oh, sure.
Instead of being frustrated that a team lost, but I would have picked Kentucky to beat Oakland, and instead a guy who looks like a 35-year-old insurance adjuster wrecked Kentucky's season.
What a story that guy is. Two, a zero-star recruit, I read, played D2 for 4 years, searched around for 1 year at Division I as a grad transfer. One school gave him an offer, and that was Oakland, and there he is beating Kentucky in the NCAA tournament. Quite a story.
Amazing. He looks like the guy who shows up at the Y and plays with kids half his age and yells at them the whole time.
Yeah, he's got the little widow's peak hair going on.
He's wearing like the leg warmers, because he doesn't look like a basketball player. And he was hitting tough shots.
I know.
He was hitting contested threes.
Yep. Just locked in. That was a lot of fun to watch. I've been listening to some talk radio and so forth then too, and apparently in Louisville and Kentucky, Blue Buds are perhaps had enough of John Calipari and might move off from Cal. That seems impossible, but there it is.
I don't think Kentucky will give up on him. Mm-hmm. They're still selling out. They're still going to the tournament every year. He still brings in NBA talent. I'd be really surprised if they give up on him at this point. And I'll also say this. Kentucky fans, of all the crazy sports fans in America, Kentucky sports might be the craziest. Royce used to tell the story that he was driving in Kentucky, back when we used to just travel like crazy all over the country. He was covering something in Kentucky. And he said that he was listening to a Kentucky regular season broadcast, and they won by like 25. And he said he listened to the post-game reaction show, and people were breaking down how they screwed up the inbounds pass 5 minutes into the first half. I mean, it is fanaticism. So if you don't win and let's also remember, Tubby Smith won a championship, a national championship at Kentucky, and they couldn't wait to get rid of him.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And, I was having lunch the other day with a longtime Gopher booster. He goes to the Booster Club meetings and everything. He's quite involved with all of that. And he was still lamenting that the Gophers moved on from Tubby Smith.
Well, we know now that it was a grotesque mistake. We also know it was a mistake for two reasons. Number one, he won an NCAA tournament game. Mm-hmm. And we know now that should keep you in that job for at least a while. Now, Patino won an NCAA tournament game, too, and they eventually moved on from him.
Yeah.
But the real problem with Tubby was they let a lowlife fire him.
Right.
The guy who fired him was sexually harassing women and didn't really belong in that position. So you could have made the argument at that time, if you really thought that the Gophers are capable of better, that Tubby had been uninspiring to date. Mm-hmm. But that guy shouldn't have had been given the ability to fire Tubby. And now we also know that they probably would have been better off keeping Tubby than getting rid of him.
That's right. Jim, thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
Great. Thanks, Todd.
Live at 5 Sports with Todd and Suhan, brought to you by Prairie's Edge Casino Resort. We have the Timberwolves for you tonight as they're at home against Cleveland.